You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The Medical School of Harvard University, through a recent bulletin, has issued a new warning. Quackery and false medicine is now on the increase. Every year, billions of dollars are being ripped away from unsuspecting citizens. In their struggle to find a cure, cancer patients and arthritis sufferers send their hard-earned money to mail-order merchants of fraud and outright robbery. Another $10 billion is being spent on questionable diet programs and weight control gimmicks. Laws and legislation can never stop this vicious fleecing of the public. But there are signs which can help alert you to the danger of being ripped off. The Harvard Medical School Bulletin from the Department of Continuing Education states that if you see certain expressions and phrases in advertising, then be careful. For instance, if the medicine or medical apparatus advertised is offered only through the mail, this should arouse your suspicions and even turn you away. Or if the testimonials are published from people who are allegedly cured, shown with accompanying before and after photographs, then be careful. And especially if sensational words like miracle or cured or breakthrough are used, let these signs be your red flag warning before it's too late. These warnings come from one of the most reliable and respected medical faculties in the world. False advertisers, they know which phrases to use. They realize that many suffering today are looking for miracles. It is not surprising, then, that when we read in the Bible, we find historical reports of Jesus interesting and even in some instances incredible. Jesus healed lepers. He caused the blind to see. Jesus made the lame to walk, and he even raised the dead. Of course, there were those who challenged these miraculous reports of Jesus' work. However, they were stymied in their vicious efforts. Individuals who were healed by Jesus were almost always present and on the scene. These thankful people stood like granite monuments to the miraculous, undeniable power of the blessed Savior. The written Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these historical documents, are trustworthy accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are accurate in every sense. All Holy Scriptures were written by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. Several of these Gospel writers had lived with Jesus. They knew him intimately. They were not fooled by a fraud or some type of Far Eastern guru. They walked with him. They talked with Jesus hour by hour. And they witnessed his superhuman power. They saw his divine authority. And they also knew that skeptics of later generations would challenge the trustworthiness of their written accounts because what Jesus did was so often sensational in human terms. St. Luke, in his carefully prepared document, his gospel, he says that he investigated everything carefully from the beginning. Luke understood the importance of an accurate historical account. He knew that the Christian faith was not a philosophy. The Christian faith is built upon the innocent life, the actual historical death, and the time-space event of the glorious Easter morning resurrection. And now, my friend, as you listen today, what does this all mean to you? Why is it so important for you to know that the Bible records are completely accurate and totally reliable? Simply because they have been written so that you and I might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing this, we might have life in his name. When we see Jesus as the Christ, we no longer see him as a great religious leader. Such a human description is demeaning and sacrilegious. Jesus is very God of very God. He is of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. The Bible teaches that Jesus was present already at the creation. The entire world was created through him. Jesus has no beginning and no end. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Any attempt to make Jesus to be only a man is ludicrous. These attempts are like an ant crawling down a railroad track, trying to oppose an oncoming freight train. If the collision took place, the conductor of the train would not even know that contact was made. And so it is when the Blessed Redeemer's enemies try to oppose him. Their efforts are meaningless. They plunge in unbelief to their own eternal demise, where the worms never stop eating and the fire never goes out. Now let me ask you, are you sometimes burdened by mistakes of your past? And do you sometimes wish that you had the opportunity of living life over again? Think, for instance, of the wrong decisions that you sometimes made when you were young. Think of some of the mistakes that you made in your business. Think of some of the mistakes you've now made in your marriage. In these moments of regret, the records of the Gospels are for your encouragement. They are for your help. Through Jesus, who is described clearly in the Gospels, you and I are offered a new start. These Gospels tell about Jesus. They provide reliable evidence for your searching heart. The Gospels reveal Jesus as someone who cares for you in spite of all your mistakes and all your failures. Now look at the story of the woman caught in the very act of adultery. This account demonstrates to all sinners that Jesus accepts us just as we are. Sometimes you will feel that you are unable to follow Jesus and to follow the Lord, but Jesus will strengthen you. He will enable you to trust Him and to follow Him. He has the divine power to give you a new tomorrow and a new start. Now imagine being Peter's mother-in-law, for example. The scriptures state that this woman was lying in bed. She was sick with a terrible fever. This fever was no mere passing illness. It was more than a heated forehead and sweating palms. Yes, this severe fever attack delivered its devastating force with an impact that was totally disabling. Think about yourself. And from your own occasional experiences of illness, you can imagine the discouragement that this dedicated woman must have felt. In addition, however, in those days, no modern drugs were available. No specialist hovered over the stricken and ashen body to provide human hope. Death was certainly not out of the question. But then, all of a sudden, the blessed Savior appeared. This sick woman's loyal son and dedicated friends had lovingly interceded on her behalf. The Savior approached the scene of sickness with divine authority. The moment of truth had now arrived. Was Jesus who He claimed to be? Or is He even today who He claims to be? The master over illness, the dispeller of despair, and the dispenser of unconditional forgiveness. This is the question. Oh yes, Jesus the divine healer approached Peter's mother-in-law with power and authority. He asked no questions. He extended His hand of grace and love. The God of grace clasped the helpless hand of the weary sinner. Life-giving power was transmitted immediately from the author of life to the discouraged mortal. Oh, Jesus raised her up. She was totally healed. And now I ask you as you listen, why are these stories, these unusual events included in the Bible? These things, these accounts, the Bible says itself, have been written so that you and I might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing this, we might have life in His name. Jesus labored in love. He preached the life-giving message of the gospel. He had compassion on the needy. He always met their every need. He had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in His mouth. And yet the Bible blasphemers are always working. Every day they are at work. They constantly seek to discredit the reliability of the Holy Scriptures. Newsweek, a prestigious and widely recognized news magazine, several years ago permitted its pages to be used for scurrilous attacks against the Bible. The article was entitled, "Who Was Jesus?" And the author stated that scholars do not recognize Matthew and Luke as historical records. Imagine this. What an incredible statement. Even if this was the author's religious convictions, he is still factually wrong. There are scores of Bible scholars today, not only at dozens of seminaries, but at major universities in the United States, in Canada, in Europe, and in many other countries, who recognize and fully accept the New Testament documents of the Gospels as historical and factually reliable. And now, to add insult to injury, this same journalist states, there are no first-hand written accounts of Jesus' life. I ask you, how can any responsible journalist stand behind such an incredible untruth? I challenge anyone listening, go to your bookstores or to your libraries, pick up a copy of the Bible, and you will read the first-hand accounts of Matthew and Mark, Luke and John. If these writers were not writing accurate history, then why does St. Luke in his opening remarks state, and I quote, "It seemed fitting to me as well, having investigated everything from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order." Oh, the very first gospel of the New Testament was written by Matthew. Jesus called him. He called Matthew personally as a disciple. This calling is clearly recorded not only once, but several times. Therefore, it is absolutely incredible to realize that there are people today who say that Matthew's report is not a first-hand account of the life of Jesus. How ridiculous can we be? Are we so blind as to believe that our generation is the first generation to write things down accurately? Matthew and Mark, Luke and John recorded more than Jesus' miracles and powerful teachings. They spent the majority of their time on the key events of the Scriptures, the crucifixion and the glorious resurrection. Everything in the Gospels point to the innocent death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter morning. Our entire future, yours and mine, depends on this. You see, when Jesus died, incredible events took place. The earth shook, rocks were split, darkness fell over the whole land for several hours, tombs were opened, and many bodies, the Gospel of Matthew says, many bodies of the saints who had died were raised. Even the cold and stoic Roman soldier guarding Jesus at the cross, when he saw what was happening, said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." When Jesus died on the cross, and when the Lord caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon Him, when our sins were placed on Jesus, and when He suffered, then God the Father saw the suffering of this innocent Son of His, and He was satisfied. This is what the Bible states. There is, therefore, now no need for you to live in constant fear of God. He loves you in a very special way. He has accepted the innocent death of His own Son, Jesus Christ, as a worthy substitute for you and a complete sacrifice for all of your sins. You see, if justice was served, you and I deserve to suffer, and we deserve to die for the sins that we have committed. But the truth is this: God demonstrated His own love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This glorious and incredible statement is not of my own making. I read it directly from the Bible. Oh, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Trust in His divine saving power. Trust in His sin-cleansing blood. Trust totally and completely in His glorious, triumphant, and heaven-guaranteeing resurrection. By the Spirit's enabling power, do this. Do this. Your future depends on it. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, enable us to see Thy Son as our blessed Savior from sin. Silence all detractors and blasphemers of the crucifixion cross and the empty tomb. By Thy grace, O Lord, enable all listeners of this message to trust completely in the salvation power of Thy Son. O Lord, establish us in the saving faith. O Lord, have mercy upon us and grant us Thy peace. Amen.